Will 3i Atlas leave its tail behind in the solar system? What keeps us from getting high-res images of the interstellar object? Will 3i Atlas data ever become private? And in Q&A Plus, if it was an alien spacecraft, how would we realistically study it? All this and more in this question show. It's time for the question show. Your questions, my answers. As always, wherever you are, across my channel, if a question pops in your brain, just write it down. I'll gather them up and I will answer them here. This is a special part two, Atlas. This is a part two special on Comet 3i Atlas. We have had a lot of questions, and so I've been tackling a lot of these topics. So here, enjoy another list of answers about 3i Atlas. John Radimus, I want to know why telescopes give us amazing quality photos of things that are very far away, but a very low quality of things like 3i Atlas. Just your opinion. Well, so you can do this experiment for yourself. Go outside on a dark night, and then notice how you can see houses, buildings, but you can't see objects that are not illuminated. And so when we look out into the universe, the things that are easy to see are the biggest things and the brightest things. And the big, bright things are the easiest. Galaxies, right? A galaxy can be 200,000 light years across and contain 400 billion stars. It is a searchlight, bright, shining out there in the universe. Here in the solar system, you know, here on Earth, you look up into the sky, you see stars. The stars are stars that are actually a lot bigger than the sun, a lot brighter than the sun, pumping out radiation. They are dozens, if not hundreds of light years away. And yet you can't see with your eyes Pluto, because it is not putting out radiation. It's putting out some infrared radiation, but it's mostly, it is reflected illumination from the sun. And so a comet is small, 1 kilometer, like, you know, a comet could be 1 kilometer across. Now, in the case of 3i Atlas, it's 5 kilometers across. But think about that, right? 5 kilometers, that's like a mountain. But that mountain is a billion kilometers away, right? It's very, very small, and yet we can see it. In fact, you can see it with a backyard telescope at this point, although you can't right now because it's behind the sun. But normally, you could see this object in a telescope that you can have in your backyard. And so what we can see out there in space depends on, are these things putting out illumination? Are they gigantic, like galaxies, like stars? Or are they only visible in reflected light, like planets, like comets, like asteroids? And are they small? You know, we know of moons of Jupiter that are 1 kilometer across, which is tiny, right? And we're looking at hundreds of millions of kilometers away, and yet we can detect these tiny little moons in the faint reflected sunlight, and yet we can find them. But it's tough. So you're not going to get clear images of these things that are tiny and not putting out their own light. Tian Spans, 3i Atlas is growing a tail. Will any of the tail remain in our solar system? If so, how much? That's a really interesting question. It's actually a question that my wife asked me last night, which I sort of just kind of think about this. So 3i Atlas is buzzing through the solar system, and it's going 48 kilometers per second. And so it is shedding debris, but that debris is moving with the comet. And so it also has the velocity of the comet. Now, it's changed a little bit by the solar wind, by radiation pressure from the sun. And so it's forming a tail away from the sun. And yet that stuff is still moving at the same velocity as the comet is, but like a little bit off and a little bit different. And so it's still going to move through the solar system. So it'll be like this trail. Like once the tail started to form and the sublimation was starting to happen, then you were going to get this material coming off of it. But then that will travel with the comet out of the solar system again, is sort of like the what I was thinking about, which is different from, say, a periodic comet that's here in the solar system that is sort of moving around inside the solar system. It's putting out bits of debris, but that debris is following the orbit of the comet around the solar system. And then the Earth can pass through that tail and we see meteor showers. But I think with the stuff that's coming off of 3i Atlas, it's going to remain as this blob that's then going to continue to shoot off into the galaxy. But tell me if I'm wrong, because that's sort of the way I was sort of thinking about it. Hannes gets, if there are interstellar comets, are there also comets from other galaxies, maybe thrown out of their galaxy? And how would they be called? Yeah, there is almost certainly intergalactic comets passing through the Milky Way right now. This comes from the fact that we know that there are objects that are on intergalactic trajectories. They are on an escape velocity from the solar system. You know, we know of hundreds of stars that are speeding out of the Milky Way, that they're never coming back. They've exceeded the escape velocity of our galaxy. And so you can assume that the same thing is happening in Andromeda, the same thing is happening in other galaxies. And as those star systems are being ejected out of their galaxies, they are taking with them planets, comets, asteroids, things like that. And then the processes that cause comets to escape from star systems are also going to be happening as they enter new galaxies. And then also you're going to get things are getting kicked. They get into three-body interactions, they get too close to a black hole, and they will receive a boost and they're sent on an interstellar trajectory. But when you think about the volume of space, the random directions that an intergalactic comet could be sent on, there's a lot of space, not a lot of trajectories that are actually intersect the Milky Way. And then when you think about the size of the Milky Way, what are the chances that one of them is going to be passing through the solar system? So, you know, I haven't seen any estimates on the number of intergalactic objects that are passing through the solar system. It's probably happened. There probably have been objects that have passed through the solar system that came from another galaxy, or maybe not. You know, again, I don't know what the math is on this, but it is definitely not impossible. And what's kind of interesting is that, you know, if you kind of go back to what's the playbook of an advanced civilization that is looking to explore as much of a volume of space as they can, the power move is that you build von Neumann probes and you accelerate them up to close to the speed of light and you send them at other galaxies so that you can reach places before they fall over the cosmic horizon and they're inaccessible to you. The sooner you get going, the better. And so probably the majority of objects that are able to cross these gulfs between galaxies were sent by advanced civilizations because they had a plan. They sent a target. And so it could very well be if we detect an object that is coming in on an intergalactic velocity, right? Some object that is passing through the solar system at 1,000 kilometers per second, right? Then maybe that came from another galaxy. And if it did come from another galaxy, maybe that's the one that's the alien probe. Or maybe it's just a rock. It's time to shout out all the new $5 patrons and above. Iron Bar, Bob Heitzman, John Goiva, Adrian Gray, K-Dub, Mark Yim, Erwin247, P. Freya, and Espressive. Join the club at patreon.com/universe today. Tim Armstrong, are there any other interstellar objects that we are currently tracking other than 3I Atlas? No, not right now. Oumuamua and Borisov are now too dim to actually track anymore, but the third object, 3I Atlas, is still on its way. It hasn't even reached its closest point to the sun yet, and it's not going to reach its closest point to Earth until it gets into November. So that's definitely still being tracked. And then into 2026, it's going to make its closest approach to Jupiter, and then it's going to head off into the cosmos. And then eventually it'll become too dim for us to be able to observe, probably in late 2026. But at the same time, the Vera Rubin Observatory will be coming online. This is this enormous observatory in Chile, which is scanning the entire night sky every few nights and is then going to be turning up anything that is moving. And one of the things that will be moving is going to be interstellar objects. And it's expected that it will find probably a dozen interstellar objects every year. And so we'll go from finding one every few years, I guess finding one every never, when we first found Oumuamua, to then knowing about two, Oumuamua and Borisov, then to knowing about three, we will suddenly know, we will be thinking about 5 to 10 at a time that are on their way through the solar system. And so, and there will be bigger ones, there'll be smaller ones, there'll be faster ones, there'll be slower ones. And we will be sort of keeping track of a whole bunch of them. And then we will stop getting really excited about every single interstellar object. We'll start talking about the fastest one, the biggest one, the smallest one, the one that's come the closest so far. We will start to think about their behavior and how some are giving off certain kinds of chemicals and others aren't. And then we'll start to see the trends and get a sense for this is what interstellar objects tend to be like. And then we'll be looking for the anomalies. You know, we've seen 100 interstellar objects. And they all had this in common, while those ones didn't have that in common. And we'll start to build this bigger picture of what other star systems are like out there, because we'll get this statistical information. And so think about how often we announce the discovery of new planets. We don't, even though new planets are being found almost every day, right? We know of more than 6,000 exoplanets right now, as well as easily 10,000 unconfirmed candidate exoplanets, and the rate of discovery is accelerating. And the same thing's going to happen with interstellar objects. Everybody's really excited right now about 3I Atlas, and it is special because it's so big, because it's so fast, because it's exhibiting unusual properties, but it will just fade into the background. And my guess is that we'll get to a place where we don't even talk about new interstellar objects that are being discovered, because it's just happening all the time. Stay Mull, can I ask, will new data become private on 3I Atlas, do you think? No information is going to become private on 3I Atlas. You know, got to understand that this is a network of astronomers using a network of telescopes. You know, when I did the video about 3I Atlas this week, I rattled off a dozen different observatories in different countries that are observing, as well as space telescopes. So this is not one nation that is jealously guarding information about this comet. This is independent astronomers working with independent observatories around the world, reporting their discoveries independently. There is no central planning service, any of that. You could go out right now, you could take your telescope, you could point it at 3I Atlas, you could make observations, and you could announce your findings, and no one's going to stop you. So no. Science in general wants to be as public and transparent as possible. And generally, especially astronomy, people are reporting this stuff just directly out to the public all the time. There's no situation where the information is maintained private forever. There's a few situations where information is gathered by a telescope and it's embargoed for a period of time for the researchers who requested the time on the telescope to be able to do their paper and write up their work. But if they blow through the limit, then that information is then publicly released anyway. So like when you think about how these things are discovered, they're discovered often by amateurs and then confirmed by other telescopes, and the news is already out there. So no, none of this is private. It's just happens to be that the government was shut down when a lot of the best observatories were going to be able to try and take a look at it in the US. And that's a problem, but it's also a problem in many other ways for the US government. It's offline. Say, hypothetically, 3I Atlas were to be an alien spacecraft, what measures do we have in place to study it or encounter it? We have this normal measures, which is that we have the ability to study its movement through the solar system. We can use James Webb, we can use the Hubble Space Telescope, we can use ground-based observatories, and we can analyze its chemical nature, watch its movements very carefully. We can use giant radio telescopes to scan for any kind of signal. Like if there was like a cell phone on the surface of 3I Atlas, we would be able to detect the radio transmissions coming from it. Now, we don't have any ability to intercept it because we don't have anything out in space right now that has the delta V, the propellant capable of intercepting it. But there are plans in the works to catch the next one. And so in 2029, the European Space Agency is going to be launching the Comet Interceptor, and that's going to be a mission that's going to loiter out at the Earth-Sun L2 Lagrange point and wait for a target like this. And then when one comes within its capabilities, it, you know, have enough propellant to be able to execute a flyby, it will fire its thrusters and then try to fly right past the object. And so the way this is going to play out is Vera Rubin will come online in a couple of months. In 2029, we'll get the Comet Interceptor mission. Vera Rubin will be detecting a dozen or so interstellar objects every year. And when one with the right characteristics is found, then the Common Interceptor will fire its thrusters and begin an interception maneuver. And we will see up close an interstellar object for the first time. All right, I'm going to talk about the next round of question shows for the patrons, which you might be interested in. But first, I'd like to thank our patrons. Thanks to Abe Kingston, Bear Lake Roofing, Brian Bodie, Cardwin, Chuck Hawkins, Commander Bielok, Cy Nielsen, Dark Finga, Dave Verbeoff, David Giltonen, David Matz, Evan Pro, Greg Feely, James Clark, Jeremy Madden, Jim Burke, Jordan Young, Josh Schultz, Marcel Smits, Michael Purcell, OneStepForAnimals.org, Paul Robach, Ren Kaidu, Richard Williams, Sean Sargent, Stephen Fowler Munley, Team 49, Telescopes Canada, Vlad Shiplin, and Wolfgang Klotz, who support us at the Master of the Universe level, and all our patrons. All your support means the universe to us. So once a month, I put out the call to the patrons for the Patrons Question Show. And, you know, we've got a lot of patrons and we get a lot of questions. And so that turns into about a 4-hour podcast that I do with my producer Anton every month. And it's a lot of fun. And the questions are a little bit more involved and intense because it's a very knowledgeable audience. So it's not just necessarily people who have passing interest in space. These are people who are very knowledgeable at space and are asking very detailed questions that require research and math. And fortunately, Anton, who's also the editor of the Space Bites, has a degree in physics. And so between the two of us, we were able to get to answers for the various questions. Like I said, it's about 4 hours long and we answer every single question that we get asked when we put out the call to questions. So I've just put out the call to questions. So if that sounds exciting to you, I will put a link in the show notes. It'll take you directly to the new Patrons Question Show. If you're a patron, you can just ask your question. If you're not a patron, you can become a patron and then just ask your question and you are guaranteed to get an answer. All right. I'll put a link to that and hopefully you'll check that out. And of course, if you do become a patron, then you can go through the entire backlog of all of the Patrons Question Shows that we've ever done, as well as a lot of the other bonus content that we put, all of the overtime over on Patreon. All right, I'll put a link. You can go check that out, participate or don't, no problem. We'll see you next time.